Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Brad DeFault, and this is part three of a series from the book of 1 Corinthians called The Gospel Applied. Today, we're going to see the gospel applied to status. In this letter, we've seen Paul make the case that the issue at the root of the Corinthians' many problems is that they are not thinking enough about Jesus and his death for them, his resurrection, and the many blessings that that has purchased for them. They need Christ to be their wisdom. They need to apply the gospel to their thinking. A little more background here on their situation comes from chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, where Paul says to them, "One of you says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' another, 'I follow Cephas,' still another, 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" You can hear Paul's exasperation in those verses. Apparently, what was happening is they were dividing among each other and picking their favorite church leader and using that as a status symbol to try to boost themselves up over other people. In response to this, so far, we've seen Paul lay out the case that they should have Jesus be their wisdom, to have the gospel inform the way that they think. He also used himself as an example, the way that he approached service when he came to the city of Corinth in the first place. And now he gets to what I consider to be the crescendo of his argument and one of my favorite sections of Scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 to 23. He says to them, "So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God." He mentions boasting. He says, no more boasting about human leaders. This has come up a few times in this letter. Boasting is one of those things that is so opposite to thinking that is informed by the gospel. Think about it. The good news is so clear that without God taking extreme measures, I could not stand before him. By receiving Christ and his grace and his forgiveness, I'm admitting that I'm someone that had no shot at goodness on my own, and that the rescue needed to deliver me was unthinkably extreme, the creator God of the universe becoming human and dying in my place. If I'm saying, yes, I believe that's true, and then after that, I'm going to boast and brag and say I'm better than someone else, it just makes no sense. While we're on the topic of the opposites of gospel-infused thinking, it's helpful to think big picture about what it would and wouldn't look like to have the salvation that Jesus gives us saturating our minds. Think about it. If you're someone who's received Christ, what type of difference should that make in your life? We ought to be, I'd say number one, forgiving, since we are so incredibly forgiven. We ought to be relatively happy, since we're so blessed, and it was a free gift that God gave to us at such great expense to him. This doesn't mean we gloss over all the problems in our lives and slap on a big plastic smile, but it ought to make a difference in our happiness. We ought to be eager to serve. Since we're so taken care of, we can focus on others. And in this case, we see that we should not be trying to jockey for position like the Corinthians were. That was at the heart of their division. One said, "I am of Paul. He's the original. He showed up with the gospel. So I'm you know, on Paul's team. We're better." Another says, "No, I'm of Apollos. He's the nice one." Another says, "No, I'm of Cephas," which is Peter. He's like the authorized one, so I'm the real deal if I'm like aligned with him. And so they're doing this. They're dividing. They're saying, "I'm better than you. I'm on this team. I'm associating myself over here. I'm different from you." And look at how Paul reasons with them. What does he say to them? "You shouldn't do this because all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Peter, life, death, etc." What does he mean? Why are all things yours? Well, he says there in verse 23, because you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. What he's saying is that the riches that you have in Christ are better than what you are striving for through comparing and competing with other people. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because I am like the Corinthians. I don't know if you know anybody who gets too worried about what other people think about them, but if you don't, well, you do now. And so I love the way Paul reasons with them. He doesn't just chide them and say, hey, this is bad what you're doing. This is damaging. And think about the benefits of unity and the cost of trying to put yourself above other people. He does make all those points, but what he majors on is the gospel. He's saying you're trying to climb the ladder and push other people down so you can rise in prestige and position, and it makes no sense because you were already in the best possible position in the universe. You are a child of God. All things are yours. You putting other people down, dividing against others, worrying about your image, it's like a billionaire robbing a convenience store. So if we, like the Corinthians, need to be freed from that type of thinking and that type of behavior, then that means our salvation, what we have in Christ, must become our wisdom. As he said in chapter 1, verse 30, Jesus and what he did for us needs to become the way that we think if we're going to approach our lives sanely. In the next section after this, Paul gives his own example in the very next verse. So listen to what Paul says about himself and think about how at rest your heart would be if you thought this way about yourself. Let this verse be a preview, like maybe like a far distant, like, man, in the future, I could be like this. Here's what Paul says. This is chapter 4. He says, this then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So that was verses 1 and 2 there. So Paul is saying, don't worry about us. Worry about Christ. We're just his servants, and we've been given a trust, and we just need to be faithful with what Jesus has given us. And here's verses 3 and 4. He says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Paul says he's not that worried about what they think. As you see later in the letter, he is concerned about his credibility, but that's for their sake. He wants them to listen to him for their own benefit. He's not that worried about what they think. He's not even that worried about what he thinks. His eyes are fixed on what God thinks. He says, it is the Lord who judges me, and our righteousness, if we've received Christ, our righteousness is in Christ, and so it is solid, it is stable. Paul thinking like this made him secure and made him serving. The Corinthians not thinking this way made them selfish and made them insecure. Is there a chance that you're in a situation like the Corinthians, where you're fighting and dissatisfied, and at the heart of the problem is that you just don't realize or don't think about the riches that you have in Christ? How would your viewpoint be different if you considered yourself as blessed as you really are, if you have received Christ yourself? For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.